As has been explained previously, All Saints Machichul is in a strange situation that it has a connection with two different Cambridge colleges, one of which is its patron, and one of which has a connection through Matthew Parker, who in 1547 got married to Margaret Halston, who was a local woman in from Machichul, and so he got married in All Saints Machichul. Matthew Parker was Elizabeth I's preferred choice for archbishop, despite him she not being particularly fond of the fact that he was married, but there we go, apparently. But he was a Norfolk boy, and so he set up this sort of link between his college, Corpus Christi, and Norfolk, and particular churches in Norfolk. My feeling is that he set it up in order to try and improve the level of faith in Norfolk and get some decent preachers. And so this year we're joined by Matt, who is the chaplain at Corpus Christi College in Cambridge. And it's lovely to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. He's going to preach later. And I'm going to ask him a little bit about himself as well later in the service. We are attempting something slightly different this morning, in the sense that Sarah is going to lead part of our worship live from Garveston. It went well in the week. We've had a couple of teething problems this morning, so it will go as well as it does. And just, you know, irrespective of some of the technical stuff, if you can just, worship God appropriately at that point. If it goes really haywire, then our service will be slightly shorter than we were anticipating. Other notices, we have got Ascension Day coming up on Thursday, and we have a service at Yaxham, St. Peter's in Yaxham. We also have got, so that's happening at 7:30. And also, we just want to say a really big thank you for everybody who's been supporting Fiona in her £300,000 step challenge for Christian Aid. She's doing really well. She's, I think, almost at 100,000. No, she's over 100,000 steps now. So she's a third of the way through her steps. Really grateful for everything that has been donated. We are now over £1,000 donation. So thank you so much for your generosity towards that, and obviously towards those who are going to be benefiting from that when the money is given to Christian Aid. So thank you so much. Right, let's just pause for a moment, and then we're going to begin with our opening words of worship. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And now we're going to go to Sarah, who is going to lead us in our worship.
Hello everyone. I don't know whether you can hear me. Like Mark said, this is the first time we've ever done this. So let's see how it goes. But actually, it doesn't really matter if the technology doesn't work, because we're here to worship God, and we're here to lift him our hearts and our voices and our praise. So even if the technology doesn't help us in that, let's just offer him our worship. So we're going to begin by singing What a Beautiful Name. Thank you. I thank you that your name is above every situation. Thank you that you are Lord. Amen. This next song, I don't know how familiar it will be for you. It's a new one on me this year, and it's been one that, as I've heard it a few times, it's really stuck with me and it's really resonated. And it's about what we build our lives on. And it's an affirmation that we are people who build our lives day by day on the rock that is Jesus Christ. But it also has a lovely sense of actually having that sure foundation enables us to share his love, his strength and his grace with other people. So I hope you're able to pick this one up. It's not hard to pick up, but it's called Build My Life.
Show me who you
Father God, that is our prayer, that you would lead us in love to those that are around us so that we can share your love and your grace. Amen.
Well, as we continue in our worship and use words of worship, we are going to use the liturgy is special for Rogation Sunday. Today is Rogation Sunday. That's why Matt is with us. It is the Sunday before Ascension Day, but it's also traditionally a Sunday where we focus on creation, where in communities such as Mattershall in previous years, you would have had processions around the parish praying for fields and for the fruitfulness that spring brings. So we're focusing on that in our words of worship this morning. So we come before you, our God and sustainer, remembering that you are our creator, the source of all being.
Out of your love, the universe was born.
From the primordial darkness, you put in place all that is needed for growth and saw that it was good.
You have put this world into our hands.
May we recognize your spirit within it, disturbing and challenging us to care for creation, for the weak and the deprived.
Lord, we remember that we are called by you to nourish the earth and its diversity of life, to share the gifts you have given with one another and with the poor of the world. Amen.
Amen. Well, I've introduced Matt to us, but now we're going to discover a little bit more about Matt. Himself. So, Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, I've been chaplain at Corpus Christi College since August, which was quite an extraordinary time to start, of course. So, we've had students in and students out of college over the last few months. Before that, I was also working in the university, but in a non-clerical role. So I was working in an admissions department at another college in what we call widening participation. So that's where you're seeking to bring in students from groups that are underrepresented at the university, which can mean all sorts of different things. So it might mean more Black students, it might mean more women doing maths and sciences. It might mean working class lads from seaside towns, you know. But so I was doing a lot of schools work. But before that, I was in God's own county most of the time. So I'm from West Yorkshire. Yeah, I believe that's second on God's list. Yes. So I'm from Yorkshire, and that's where I grew up. And where most of my ministry has been. Before I came down to Cambridge, I was on the Barnsley coalfield, had four villages, sort of ex-mining villages up there, which was two parishes.
Yeah. So other than the strangeness of coming to Corpus in a time of global pandemic and everything being different, are there particular things that have surprised you about ministry in a Cambridge college, things that have been blessings or things that have been difficult to get your hand is, I guess, is a very different ministry than the one in Barnsley or in any parish, for example?
One of the sort of prime groups I'm working with, they're aged 18 to 25 at the college, and I have to say very few 18 to 25 year olds came through the door of the parish, apart from perhaps baptisms. We had loads and loads of baptisms in Barnsley, which was a good thing. I mean it's been such an odd year, so I've got used to the fact of people saying to me, this is how we do it at the moment. It's not how we normally do it, you know. Let me try and quiet down the background.
That's all right. It's lovely. No, that's okay.
But I think what's refreshing is the number of students who are, they're interested in faith because they've grown up without really it being around. You know, they've not even grown up learning not to like faith or think religion's a bad thing, so that when they experience it, it's often as a surprise. So they're very open to conversations. That's been a good thing.
Good. And you have an area of research that you specialised in did a doctorate, a PhD in. So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, well, I won't bore you with a doctorate, which was a long time ago. It's very long and very boring. I normally do things on Christian doctrine, so about Christian teaching over the ages and why it matters, really. You know, why does it matter what we say about who God is or who Jesus is or what the Trinity is or what the church is or what creation means? And try and teach it as something that matters, because it's about faithfully responding to God. You know, it's almost it's a response to Jesus saying, you know, who do you say that I am? And it matters that we answer that well and faithfully, because if we don't, we're often projecting our own views and opinions on who we think God should be and what God should be like. So that's what I generally teach, Christian doctrine.
Thank you. Thank you for that introduction to, I have to say, when I was a theological student many years ago, you know, we were studying Christian doctrine, there were a few of us who kind of thought, oh no, why are we having to study this? And you know, it does tend to be regarded as a rather dry and not necessarily helpful subject. So that the way you described it is, you know, I wish that had been described that way to me, at least before I arrived at college. I found it more interesting once I got into it, I have to say, because it is so vital that we get our doctrine right. Anyway, we ought to move on and continue with our worship. Thank you, Matt. We look forward to hearing from you later on as you preach. But we're now going to come to our time of confession. So in that sense, Matt introduced what doctrine is. It's so important because as we come to God in confession, it's about acknowledging the truth of who we are, the truth of who God is, and the distance between the people that we are and how God intends us to be. So let's just pause for a moment. And then we will use these words of confession on the screen. So let us ask God to have mercy on our broken earth and to prosper the work of our hands. Let us ask God to forgive our delusion of self-sufficiency so that we may praise him for his provision and goodness. Lord, you give us this good earth, yet we take your generous gifts for granted. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, you give us this good earth, but we squander its rich resources. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, you give us this good earth, but we fail to share your bounty with all your children. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And we've now got a prayer for Rogation Sunday. Almighty God, It is your will that the earth and the sea should bear fruit in due season. Bless the labours of those who work on land and sea. Grant your whole earth a good harvest, and the grace always to rejoice in your fatherly care, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We are now going to hear God's word, and Della and Stephen are going to read that for us.
While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The servants, the believers who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured on even the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of them being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered them that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They then asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the second lesson is taken from John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friend if you do what I command. I no longer call you servant, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I choose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Matt, over to you.
I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Peter is standing in the house of a Roman centurion. This was unexpected. A few days ago, it was unthinkable. Peter just didn't preach to people who weren't Jews. Now, imagine he wasn't overly keen on ranking soldiers of the occupying army either. But here he is. Cornelius, the centurion, is a devout and generous man, but days before, he'd been minding his own business, and certainly he had no plans to be entertaining any preachers, and certainly not a disciple of Jesus. So, it is an unexpected meeting. How did they get here? Well, Cornelius is surprised, or terrified actually, to be visited by an angel who tells him to invite this Peter, which he does by way of sending some soldiers and slaves to go and find him. Peter himself had been praying when he had a vision of unclean animals coming down on a sheet, and he's told that he can eat them now. God has made them clean. Then Cornelius's party turns up and they persuade Peter to come along with them. So Peter arrives to find a house full of Gentiles. And he realizes after his dream that now he should no longer see them as unclean. Cornelius invites Peter to speak. And so Peter does. He tells them the good news of Jesus, about his death and resurrection. And then, as we heard in our first reading, the Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius and his friends. Peter's Jewish companions are amazed to see the gift of the Spirit working such wonders with these Gentiles. They can see how, for Cornelius and his household, the good news has become alive in them. It's all so unexpected, and in what a wonderful way. This amazing surprise of God's grace, of God's good gifts being given to new people. The surprise for Peter and his friends is to find that God has this global ambition. The gifts are for all people, for each and every one. Well, here we are, and who would have expected it 14 months ago? Who would have imagined us here joining in worship together online and that we'd be used to it? I can't think Archbishop Matthew Parker could ever have imagined such a thing. He thought I'd arrive with you on a horse, and here I am beaming in on Zoom. So you could say we've been learning to deal with what was unexpected, but not, of course, in such a happy way. This pandemic has affected us all in many ways, affected our health, our way of life, our relationships, and it's brought us grief upon grief. But God is good, and Christ is risen. Alleluia. And the Spirit is here. And these things are the foundation of our hope. Just before our reading began, Peter had been preaching to Cornelius's household about Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. He was telling them all about God's gift of Jesus, about God's grace in destroying the power of death and sin and fear, about God's gift of Jesus to us once again in that garden in the light of the first Easter morning. He's been preaching about the hope that we now have. Jesus is risen. Death no longer has power over us. Life has won. In his own first letter, Peter writes that by God's great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Isn't that a glorious phrase? A new birth into a living hope. It's a new start, being born again into a life that is hopeful through and through, all the way down. So much so that we ourselves are examples of living hope. Our lives can be reminders, witnesses to others of the hope that energizes us and sustains us. Which I would love to say about myself, that people look at me and see a living hope. I would love to say it about the church more generally, that it looks like a community of living hope. It's not always the case, is it? But do you know what? Sometimes it is. Sometimes the grace of God breaks through. Sometimes we see the Spirit of God at work and we can see that hope is alive, just as Peter's friends saw when they looked at Cornelius and his friends. We can look at others and know that the resurrection is true and real because it's effective in their lives. The Spirit is making them into a living hope. I'm aware that I can celebrate Easter, you know, even for 7 weeks, and be surprised again by God's abundant grace. But if I'm honest, it's very easy for me to forget God's gifts, all too easy to fall back into living with a bit less hope and a bit more fear, a little less faith and a bit more anxiety, and how much more so in a pandemic. Which is why we, like Peter and Cornelius, have to let the Spirit well up in us and pour down on us. The Spirit is the gift that helps us to really lay hold of all God's other good gifts. It's the gift that gives us practices of hope that really make the hope live now, make it really sing in us. It's what stops us forgetting, stops us lapsing back into fear or anxiety. It helps us to practice being a living hope. Quite a few of our usual practices of hope have been denied us over the last year or so. Many of the regular ways that the Spirit gathers us to meet, events for fellowship and for enjoying one another, times for gathering around the font or the altar, in all sorts of ways, they've been suspended or interrupted or changed. And we've had to learn to live without many of the ways in which we usually meet to lay hold of the hope that we've been given. But I think this is a moment where there's great opportunity for us all to help one another. And I think throughout the pandemic, one of the gifts that the Spirit's been helping us to learn to receive again is learning to be a disciple here at home. We've simply had to learn again what it means to have a really domestic faith. We've had to learn practices of hope in our own homes. We've needed to find practices of hope other than the discipline of turning up in the church building every Sunday. And I wonder what the Spirit has been doing with all of you. Has it meant that you've had more quiet time or time for meditation? Have you been able to receive the gift of time spent in God's company, whether at home or maybe like me, when walking around? For some, it's been renewing a space in our day to pray for others and suddenly receiving again the gift of prayer and rejoicing in that. I know some people have suddenly rediscovered traditions of prayer from other Christians. You know, some people have found that saying an examen, that Jesuit way of praying, where at the end of the day, you kind of look back on the events of the day and you look at where God's been present with you. Some people have found using apps on their phone has been a great way to kickstart prayer again. Has it been a time where you've rediscovered the Bible, for, you know, that you've been able to spend time with it, really dwell with God in the scriptures, perhaps studying by yourself or suddenly studying with other people by Zoom, you know, zooming into each other's home to share the gift of scripture? Has it been rediscovering some of those practices of hope where we enjoy God throughout the day? I mean, saying things like grace before meals and realizing God is here in everything that we are, everything that we do. Has this been a time to learn more about fellowship online, where we've received technology as a real gift, and the way that it includes all of us who are stuck at home? And some of us are stuck at home, not just during lockdowns, but because perhaps we're infirm or unwell. And actually, this is a way we can worship together. It has been a gift. Has it been a time to give thanks for the gift of others who have kept in touch with us when the rest of the world has been locked down? Has it been a time to remember the gift of neighbours, focusing on their needs at such a time by volunteering to take prescriptions or shopping are learning to receive help and comfort from our neighbours. What has the Spirit been doing with you to keep hope alive? And I think we should just keep sharing amongst churches and Christian communities and one another, you know, share these practices of hope and really learn how we've been shaped in these past months so that we've become little icons of living hope. How will we take these things forward as we continue, we hope, to see restrictions eased? How will we keep this domestic faith going? So let's be ready for the unexpected surprise of God's grace, because God is good. Christ is risen, alleluia, and the Spirit is here. Whatever else is happening around us in the world, these things we trust. And that's why we will always practice being a people who are a living hope. So let's expect the unexpected. Let's develop those practices of hope that the Spirit gives us. Let's receive again the gift of becoming ourselves a living hope. God is good. Christ is risen. Alleluia. And the Spirit is here. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Matt. We're now going to spend time reflecting on what you've said to us and what God is saying through your word to us as we sing, "Be still and know that I am God," as we respond to God's Spirit at work amongst us now. Now we declare our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God of hope, as we use the creed together. So we believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead.
On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. And now we're going to share the piece together. So in a moment, we will stop the sharing the screen and invite you all to turn to gallery view and as we wave to each other to share the piece. But the risen Christ came and stood amongst his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then they were glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you. Alleluia.
Peace be with you all. Okay, and we're going to sing now. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
King of creation, oh my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near, praise him in gladness.
Adore him.
And now Patricia is going to lead us in our prayers of intercession.
Let us pray. O Lord, we pray for our Queen. We pray for our bishops, Graham, Alan, and the newly Bishop of Lynn. We pray for our diocese, our benefice, our community. We pray for the sick, Earl and Watson. And I'll give you a moment of prayer just to remember anyone that is sick that needs our prayer. We pray for loved ones. We pray for people that have lost family members in this pandemic. Oh Lord, the loved ones and friends we have lost do not rest in the earth. They are buried in our hearts. And that is how God wanted it, so that we should always be in their company. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer.
I pray for the pandemic in countries that are so poor that they do not have the equipment to treat people, and they are losing and people are dying. And I just pray, Lord, that you will be in with them. You will be there to comfort them in their sorrow. We ask this in Jesus' name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for our communities, for our schools, our teachers, NHS, and all those that are committed to helping people, to people that have collected groceries, prescriptions, and kept hope alive in our community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer.
One of our mission partners, Barnabas Fund, has a prayer for today. O Lord Jesus, we pray for the Christians in Somalia, one of the most dangerous places in the world to follow you. Give courage and endurance to Somali Christians who face real possibility of being murdered for their decision to commit their life to you. Help them to live by faith, not by sight, as they fix their eyes on the eternal. Keep them from fear and fill them with your peace and an unwavering faith and hope. Remind them that though they will have trouble in this world, you have already overcome this world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer.
May our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer.
Teach us, good Lord, to serve thee as thou deservest. Give and not to count the cost. To fight and not to heed the wound. To toil and not seek rest. And to labour and to ask for no reward as doing thy will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, we finally pray for our church. We pray for all that is being done in your name, in Jesus' name. Please accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now, I would like you to all join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And now we come towards the close of our time of worship this morning. After our service, we will be having our coffee time. So there'll be the 5 minutes for you to go and make a cup of tea or coffee, and then we'd love to see you afterwards. As we sort of look outwards with those hearts of hope, as Matt was talking to us about, as we look towards our creation, as this Rogation Sunday says, as we are those who are called to be those beacons, those people of hope, we say these words together. So God the Father, who created the world, give you grace to be wise stewards of his creation.
Amen.
And may God the Son, who redeemed the world, inspire you to go out as labourers into his harvest.
Amen.
And may God the Holy Spirit, whose breath fills the whole of creation, help you to bear his fruits of love, joy, and peace.
Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Tend the earth, care for God's good creation, and bring forth the fruit of righteousness. Go in the peace of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
And now we sing, O Breath of Life. Thank you for being with us in our worship this morning, and see you for coffee in 5 minutes.